Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew. I am, of course, William Ramel. What's up, Mac? How you doing? Hello, Mac. Are you here? Can you hear me?
Yep.
Mac,
can hear you.
All good. All right. Glad to have you on the show, man. Everything good with you?
Yeah, doing good, man. Just finished watching the NFL Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely going to talk about that for sure. You know, we're going to talk about that, what's going on with the Mets and the Yankees after their trading deadline. Of course, the Subway Series that just passed and went. We're also going to talk about what's going on in, you know, WWE, of course, as usual, and anything else that's you know, you fans want to talk about. You know, you guys want to talk about. You know, of course, you know the number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. You know, with that, you know, I want to thank you guys for listening to another episode of Sports Urban Legend. And with that, yeah, let's talk about you know, the trading deadline that just came and went in baseball. You know, a lot of teams made some blockbuster moves. You know, Rangers, they acquired Beltran, you know, from the Yankees. They also got Jonathan Lucroy, the coveted catcher, the most coveted catcher in this trading deadline this year. They acquired him. Mets were after him, but you know, Rangers, they you know, sacrifice top prospects in order to get them. And,
yep.
You know, Rangers are the clear winners of this trading deadline. You know, obviously the Yankees, you know, they were in sell mode for the first time since 89 when they traded away, you know, Ricky Henderson in 89, which catapulted the A's to their last World Series championship in 89, which you know, current Mets GM Sandy Alderson, the grandfather of Saber Matrix, he was the GM of that championship team. He also made a big move. And unlike the Yankees, you know, obviously they saw the writing on the wall. They saw it was, you know, time to sell and try to bolster their farm system, which they did. Mets, on the other hand, these past two seasons, Mets have went for it. Obviously, last year they made the gigantic, unexpected Yoenis Cespedes trade after they vetoed the Carlos Gomez trade, which would have brought Gomez back to New York as a Met, you know, because they felt, you know, there was some health concern. As a result, they made an even bigger trade and got Yoenis Cespedes, and, you know, the rest of it was history. You know, that Cespedes trade, you know, that move catapulted the Mets to the World Series. Unfortunately, it was in a losing effort to the Royals, but, you know, a valiant effort nonetheless, which was also coupled with previous trades of Johnson and Uribe and the call-up, the major league debut of Conforto of that past year. This year, they were in a similar situation. Mets started off strong, and then the injury bug and inconsistency, you know, at the plate. At one point, they were batting .204, which was tied for the worst batting average with runners in scoring position in Mets history. So they, you know, they acquired Kelly Johnson earlier this year to get him back. And obviously he's had some home runs here and there. You know, obviously he hasn't had the same impact as he did last year. And, you know, the Mets saw the writing was on the wall. There are a few games over .500, but they've been losing games at a rapid pace. So what did they do on the trading deadline? They acquired Jay Bruce, you know, who was leading the league in RBIs at the point. He had like 80 RBIs, which was the first time ever in Major League history since they've kept track of the RBI statistic since 1920. That our first time that a guy, the RBI leader, got traded, you know, at the trading deadline. And Jay Bruce, you know, he has 27 home runs, 80 plus RBIs, probably about 87 or so off the top of my head, You know, I thought it was a big move. It was a move that the Mets had to do. Obviously, since Jay Bruce debuted in the major league since 08, he's had, I think, over 233 home runs, which leads the National League in home runs. But, I mean, I think he's a, to me, I mean, obviously he's a very good player. He's a slugger. But, I don't know, to me, I could be wrong, but, you know, he seems a little overrated. You know, he plays in a city, you know, in a, you know, in Cincinnati, you know, where it's, you know, easy to hit home runs over there. But, you know, he finally made his impact in the Subway Series, so which we're going to get into in a few seconds. Game one, you know, the Yankees, they came back from behind and beat the Mets. Trying to remember what score was. It was, I think, 6-5, if my memory served me right. You know, Addison Reed had had his worst performance in his Met career. Blew a 2-run lead in the eighth. You know, the Mets, you know, basically the offense, you know, and the pitching wasn't there that day. And then game two, you know, the Mets offense was alive for the first time in seemingly a long time. They scored 7 runs. The Mets gave up they gave up a solo home run to Gregorius in the ninth to you know, spoil the shutout. But, you know, Mets even up the series. So going to Citi Field, I mean, rather, Yankee Stadium. The series is tied to one apiece. They split the series at Citi Field. So coming into Wednesday's game, Mets was trying to take the, you know, both teams were trying to, you know, take the first game of the, you know, of the Subway Series and take a 2-1 lead. And obviously, me, you, and a cousin of mine, we went. You know, it was a great atmosphere. And unfortunately, the Mets had a, you know, they had a 2-0 lead. The Yankees came back, tied the game up, or did they score 3 runs in that inning? They might have scored 3 runs in that inning.
I think,
the bottom third.
Yeah, I think the Yankees went ahead 3-2.
3-2, right. And then afterwards,
bottom third.
We were, you know, in the concession stands trying to get food before we sat down. Literally before we could even put our fannies to the seat, Teixeira, you know, he sent a text message over the wall. And
the Mets.
He was definitely on the mark, Teixeira, for sure. And, you know, you and a cousin of mine, huge Yankee fans, you know. You know, I got a lot of heat for that, obviously, you know, but it was all good, you know. And well, not actually, it wasn't all good. I'm not going to front. I didn't like the Mets losing, you know, obviously, of all teams to the Yankees. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, Yankees added more runs to that game. You know, basically, Matt's, next time Matt's face to share, he threw at his foot. You know, Teixeira didn't like that, obviously, whether it was intentional or intentional or unintentional, you know, that's up for debate.
Yeah,
and then,
brawl.
Yeah, it did. The bullpen cleared, you know, I don't know if he did on purpose. I mean, Matt never did that. I mean, I don't know if he was PO'd about giving up the home run, you know. And apparently after the game, both guys were talking about how much they both respect each other. So, I don't know. I don't know if it was intentional or not. I mean, you know, I honestly can't say whether it is or not, you know. But, obviously, there was another thing. It was Mark Teixeira Day that day. You know, he hit the home run, he got plunked, and almost got a fight with two Mets because later that game, he got inside Robles' head. You know, hey, I admit it. You know, I'm a Mets fan, but, yeah, he got into Robles' head. It was clearly obvious.
Robles overreacted, man. What about Teixeira stealing his side, which
Jericho really wasn't. And Tashera decides, okay, if this guy thinks I'm still inside, I'm just going to, like, play it off like I am. And then you see, like, Rumba's getting busted, getting, like, affected by that. And him not being able to pitch.
Yeah.
I've never seen, like, a pitcher let a player on base get into his head like that.
For real. I mean, you're absolutely right. The last time I saw, another player got into another player's head, Clemens threw a broken bat at Piazza in game two of the World Series. But, he really got into, Robles' head, and, it worked, so far in this series, the Mets have been having some, the bullpen guys, Teixeira and, no, not Teixeira, what am I saying? Robles and Reed, they were having, I don't know if it's coincidence, putting pressure on themselves because it's a Subway Series, or, they just happen to have bad games, during this series. But, yeah, it wasn't looking good for the Mets, So, basically, Mets, I think they lost by a final score of what? 9-4? Probably 9-4. And, a good day for the Yankee fans, being the sore winners that they are, talking smack, after the victory. And,
but you guys don't, after you guys beat us, okay.
We have to retaliate. You guys always talking smack. What are we supposed to do? Take the high road? We can't always take the high road, we gotta, sometimes stoop down to your guys' level.
All right. So when Yankee fans celebrate, don't say nothing. Let us celebrate let Yankee fans celebrate, Hey, we can have fun too. We're not even going to the playoffs, for Christ's sake.
Well, the way how the Mets are playing, they might not make it to the playoffs either, because the offense is inconsistent. Basically they can't score any runs. The starting pitcher at times have been a little shaky. Vred didn't have a good game. Syndergaard didn't have a good game on Friday night. What can I say? The Mets have to score some runs, basically. They did score, I'm trying to remember how many runs they scored. They scored, five runs on Saturday night. And they literally, but before I get to that, let me finish the rest of the series. Mets did bounce back and win game four, the final game, by the final score, 4-1. Familia got the save and everything. And Jay Bruce, man, you can't bring that guy down, man, because, you Yankee fans, talking smack about Bruce. Bruce didn't get a hit. His first hit as a Met was a 3-run home run, and that proved to be the game winner, So you got to give Bruce some credit.
Good for him.
I'm trying to remember what else happened. So basically Mets bounced back. Won the game by the final score of 4-1, and as a result, they split the series 2-2. So, barring a miraculous playoff berth by both teams, they're not going to face each other, this year, most likely. And as a result, after that, the Mets, they're currently playing with the Tigers. They lost game one. Well, actually, they lost both games. They lost the first game. Trying to remember the score. I think, 4-3. Syndergaard gave up all four runs. He didn't have it yesterday. I think Bruce might have hit a home run one of those games. One of these two Tiger games. Might have been today. It might have been Saturday night, I think. But in any case, Mets, they failed to, You know, they haven't won these two games. They're gonna try to win it's not even a rubber game. They're gonna try to avoid the sweep later today. Who pitched? Oh yeah, Verrett. He didn't pitch well. The Mets had to come back. They had Granderson hit a home run. I think Bruce hit a home run today too, if I'm not mistaken. But in any case, how did the Mets lose, you ask? How did Mets find a way to lose this time? Well, I'll tell you, folks. If you didn't watch, basically, Mets had a rally off their former closer, K-Rod. They had two people on, I think with two outs. And I can't remember who got the base hit. And rounding third, coming home, was Bruce. Here's the throw to the plate, perfect throw to the plate, and he is out. They didn't even review the play because on the review, the SNY replays, they showed that they initially thought that he slid in before, even though the throw beat him. They thought Bruce slid his foot in, but when they looked closely. Even after the umpire said they weren't going to review the play, they noticed that he didn't touch the plate, period. So either way, he would have been out anyway. So right. Mets lose the first two games of the series with the Tigers, and they're going to try to avoid the sweep. But switching gears with the Yankees got some big news of their own. They, Teixeira announced before the Indian series that he's going to call it a career at the end of the season. And now A-Rod might announce that they're going to release A-Rod later today.
Or that he's retiring, maybe.
Or maybe that he's retiring. Because they say he's four home runs shy of, hitting 700. And so it should be we'll definitely tell you next week what the news is about. So it's going to be interesting what this news is about. And basically, Yankees lost earlier Saturday night. Miller, he came back and, closed the game against the Yankees. And, by the final score of 5-2, Yankees are in unfamiliar territory. They haven't been in a situation like this since, 89. They're going to try to rebuild and hopefully have a resurgence like they did in the 90s. During the Derek Jeter, Mariano Rivera, Pettit, Bernie Williams era. So, Yankees have one of the best, team prospects, minor league prospects in the game. Some people rank them second, some people rank them first. So, Yankees, future-wise, the sky's the limit, If, they make the right moves, they'll be back in October in no time and make some, wise free agent signings like the good old days. The Yankees will be back.
Yeah, I'm excited about this farm system. All these prospects that we've gotten, it's put us a top baseball on the top farm system right now. We have to be patient. This is not a familiar territory for Yankee fans. Yankee fans have been used to winning for the last 20 years, but you gotta be patient and you gotta wait it out. We can't win a World Series every year, and it's been, 7 years since we won our last World Series, so, it's probably going to be another maybe 5-10 years before we end up winning another one, maybe, but gotta be patient. Gotta see how these young guys do in the farm system. Gotta, continue building, helping these guys grow, and eventually we'll have a great team again, and Yankees will come back better than ever, and destroy these other teams like the Zika virus.
Oh, my goodness. No, you're not going there. But, yeah. You know, Yankees, you know, they're, you know, they just, you know, they got Cashman. You know, if Cashman can survive these couple of years, they give him, they have the patience to stay with him, you know. You know, he has the resume that proves that he's a championship-winning GM. So,
yeah,
you know, they got to stick with the plan and stick with him.
Yeah.
Shifting gears, let's talk about the NFL. You know, congratulations to the Hall of Famers, Tony Dungy, the legendary, you know, head coach, you know, of the Colts, you know, obviously during the, you know, obviously, you know, highlighted by their championship season, you know, when the, you know, when Peyton won his first NFL title, you know, which obviously Peyton's going to be a future Hall of Famer in a few years. Bret Hart. I mean, not Bret Hart. Brett Favre. I mean, I'm thinking WWE for something. Brett Favre. I mean, my fault. Which, you know, obviously, you know.
Well, both of them are champions, so.
Obviously, yes. Brett Favre. You know, obviously, he's, you know, he just went in also. Yes, Bret Hart did go into the WWE Hall of Fame years ago.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Bret Hart. Bret Favre.
When you think about it, both of them do have very similar things in common, you know?
Yeah, they are working men, you know, blue-collared men who, you know, hardworking, you know.
Yeah.
You know, guys who, you know, who have to, you know, overachieve to, you know, be champion and, you know.
And they're both great at their sport.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously, no doubt about that. So yeah, there are some similarities now that you mention it.
Yeah.
But you know, congratulations to them and you know all the you know all the inductees, man. What's your thoughts, man?
Yeah, I thought you know I didn't see all of it. I just saw a portion of it, but I saw the Tony Dungy speech, which I thought was great. You know, one of the greatest coaches we've ever seen in the NFL. And of course I saw the Brett Favre speech was at the end when he had some stories about his NFL playing days. Thanked some of his coaches, mainly his first coach, Mike Holmgren, who coached them, in Green Bay and won the Super Bowl. Brett Favre is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, you know, the only quarterback to throw, for 3,000 yards 18 years in a row. I don't think you'll ever see a quarterback do that again. So, you know, it's well deserved. You know, it's about time that he got inducted. And, you know, he's one of the greats. You know, there won't be another one like him.
You're absolutely right, man.
And a former Jet.
Yeah, briefly.
Yeah.
Very briefly. But yeah, you're right, man. Yeah, there'll never be another Brett Favre. I mean, the only negative thing you could say about him is kind of like he was the football version of Cy Young. I mean, he has, you know, he threw for the most touchdown passes at, you know, one point, and you know, but he also threw for the most interceptions, you know. But I mean, that's you know, that comes with the territory, you know.
He's a gunslinger.
Yep. You live and die by the gun. That's the story of a cowboy.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, congratulations to him and you know all the inductees. You know, it's well deserved.
Yeah, congrats.
And also shifting gears, you were telling me that. Off the air that Knicks are interested in Lance Stephenson, the former
Pacer. Yeah, they're looking into that.
Yeah, the Knicks aren't playing, man.
That'd be a great signing because Lance could, you know, come off the bench, give him some defense, rebounding, passing. You know, he could play four positions on the floor.
Mm-hmm. And another Brooklyn guy trying to finally put on the orange and blue.
Yeah, it'd be a great pickup.
Absolutely, and another sleeper move is Justin Holiday, Jrue Holiday, a guy off the bench. You know, he was part of the Warriors championship team 2 years ago. So, I mean, you know, that's another sleeper. Not to mention, you know, we got a pretty good bench, you know. We got Brandon Jennings, who's also insurance in case if Derrick Rose get hurt. Trying to think who else.
Kyle O'Quinn.
I'm trying to remember who else is on this bench. I'm drawing a blank right now, but you know it's a pretty good bench, and not to mention you got a starting lineup of Noah and Melo, who's the captain of the USA team, USA
yep.
basketball team, and trying to win another gold, trying to be the first man to win, I think, what, 4 gold medals in the NBA or something.
Is it 4 or 3?
Maybe it's 3. I think. Let me do the math. 4. I think 2004 was the Redeem team, if I'm not mistaken. 08,
yeah.
I think, was the first champ. 08. Yeah. He's trying to win. He's trying to win his third.
Okay.
But I think he's the fourth. I think he's the first person to go be on 4 teams. 4 Olympic teams. But yeah, he's trying to, like you said.
Because he was on that team that lost, right?
Yeah, the Redeemed, the team, 08 was the Redeemed team. The other team was the team that won the bronze. Yeah, that was 04.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that was just before he came, that was a few years before he went to the Knicks.
Yeah.
But in any case, Knicks aren't playing. They're gonna, you know, they're gonna try to shock the world. But then again, they gotta face Durant and Durant and the Warriors, and of course, James, the defending champion, Cleveland Cavaliers with LeBron James. So it's gonna be a tough uphill battle. But now at least the Knicks have somewhat of a fighting chance, you know, against those guys. But team chemistry and hard work, they're going to need to display that. With the guys they have, they should definitely have that, playing some old school Knicks basketball. So they're going to need to be perfect to try to, out-top those guys if they face them in the playoffs.
Yeah, for real. I'm just hoping they could be competitors here and make the playoffs and then see what happens from there,
Oh, yeah. Because once you get to the playoffs, anything is possible.
Exactly. So I'm not out here saying, oh, they're gonna win the championship. No, being realistic, I don't think they're gonna win the championship. But if they can make the playoffs, then we can see what happens.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Yes. Switching gears with the WWE. I'm trying to think what happened. New Day got attacked by the club, Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows, and apparently as a result, Big E has a groin problem. So hopefully it won't be a factor when he defends the title, the tag team titles against the club. SummerSlam in a few weeks.
Yeah.
And trying to think what else happened. What else major happened?
RKO.
Oh yes, right. Thank you. That's what I was trying to remember. The RKO on Orton. Brock Lesnar. Yeah, when Paul Heyman was doing this speech and literally. Like seconds after Paul Heyman said that he's never going to be able to do the RKO, and just like the saying goes, Orton hit an RKO out of Norway, and basically was taunting Paul Heyman. So what happened on Tuesday night? you know, Brock Lesnar invaded Raw and gave Randy Orton the RKO. You know, he interrupted the match with Orton. Who was Orton fighting against? I think it was a jobber. Can't remember who it was.
Who was it?
Heath Slater?
You know,
WWE's
bringing back jobbers now.
Yeah, they're going back to the, you know, bringing jobbers now. Well, I guess that's better than having people having 500 records, like the like,
yeah,
you know, like having people win, lose. I mean, that's fine. Winning and losing to the same person is fine at times, but it can't be the norm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, at one point, it's gonna devalue the wins.
Yeah, exactly.
And which is basically what happened to Dolph Ziggler on Raw, you know. No, not on Raw, rather on SmackDown. He got challenged by not Brock Lesnar, Bray Wyatt, for the number one contendership. And the problem with Dolph Ziggler for the past couple of years, he's been used as a jobber, you know. You know, they, you know, he's a very talented guy, but they, you know, they make him lose, you know, a lot. You know, even though, you know, in the past he's been a two-time champion. But Dean Ambrose and Ziggler had a heartfelt, you know, promo they had in the beginning, you know, talking about their careers and talking about how far they had this scrape and claw to get their way to the top. And Dolph Ziggler even referenced, you know, he was with the Spirit Squad, even though technically it was a different gimmick. I think his character name was Nikki or something like that. So
yeah.
Technically Dolph Ziggler and the Spirit Squad character were two different characters, but, you know, that it, him acknowledging, you know, his Spirit Squad past brought realism to the promo, you know. And Dolph Ziggler did bring up a, you know, excellent point, you know, even though, you know, I am a Dean Ambrose fan, you know, that he did get that push from the beginning, you know, starting out with, you know, the Shield. So, I mean, sure, the authority held him back, but he did have a huge start. He was never, you know, like a jobber. But, you know, it should be an interesting matchup. And, you know, Dolph Ziggler defeated Brock Lesnar. Not Brock Lesnar. Why can't you keep saying Brock Lesnar? I mean, Bray Wyatt. And, you know, the title match is intact. So we will, in fact, have Dolph Ziggler versus Dean Ambrose for the WWE title. And, at SummerSlam, so that's going to be an interesting pay-per-view event. Sasha Banks, she's gonna defend her title, newly won, you know, crown title for, you know, against Charlotte. And congratulations to Sasha Banks. She got recently married, Lana as well, to Rusev. So congratulations to both of those ladies.
Yeah, Enzo didn't know. She was trying to flirt with Sasha Banks.
Yeah, that kind of ruins the storyline. But with WWE, I don't think they mind anyway. Because 28 days after she gets married, you know, after Enzo, I guess the proposal wasn't enough to make her break up her real-life relationship. I guess Enzo was going to be upset if someone asked him, how you doing? but in any case, I'm sure there's some other major stuff that happened on Raw and SmackDown. I'm just drawing a blank. Can you think of something?
Well, John Cena got beat up again.
Oh, yes. Thank you. That's what I'm trying to remember. AJ challenged John Cena again to another rematch. As you know, AJ Styles defeated John Cena in their first matchup 2 months ago. John Cena got the victory in the six-man tag team match when he pinned AJ Styles for the victory. But now they're gonna have another one-on-one matchup. So that should be definitely interesting. I think they should have saved it for WrestleMania, but you know, hey, SummerSlam is a big event as well. So maybe if they do this, hopefully they'll hold back on this and not make them fight each other. I don't want this to be like, you know, like Dolph Ziggler, you know, Baron Corbin, but I think it's a long way to go before it gets to that. But
yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because it's still a very interesting matchup, still a dream matchup. But I hope they don't water it down like Stefan Arkell on Family Matters, you know. You know, don't if it's broke, don't fix it. I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, man. Don't run things to the well, man. Because, you know, this matchup is still interesting, you know. But I hope they don't milk this.
Yeah, I think there'll be a fair and square win this time.
Yeah. Right, because, either way, it's going to be a fair win. Unless if he forms a new, because he was hinting that the club isn't broken up, it's expanding. So maybe if WWE hires some old, you know, some, you know, former WWE veterans, you know, who was in New Japan, maybe Shelton Benjamin, maybe MVP or whoever they have in mind, you know, maybe they could form, you know, they could form a new club in SmackDown and, you know, cost John Cena the victory again. Because AJ Styles did hint that they're not broken up, they're expanding. So, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, that'd be interesting to see. Yeah, Shelton Benjamin, maybe.
Yeah, because Shelton Benjamin, they confirmed that he is coming back. And I think it's on SmackDown, if I'm not mistaken. I think they announced that 2 weeks ago that he's coming back to SmackDown. So maybe my guess might come true.
Yeah.
And the American Alpha, they made their debut. You know, it's a group of Olympic style wrestlers. Gable, I forgot his name, Chad Gable, I can't remember the guy's name, but yeah, he was a former Olympian, and Jason Jordan, he's an athletic dude as well, so, you know, some people think maybe if Angle come back, he could form a new Team Angle with those guys.
Oh, that'd be great.
And, you know, those guys, you know, they looked impressive in their debut on SmackDown, so you never
know.
Yeah,
they look good. Not bad.
Yeah, I think they defeated the Vaudevillains, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they did. They did.
Yeah, what's up with WWE? They were pushing the Vaudevillains, and now Vaudevillains are some jobbers.
That's pretty much what they are now.
I want to thank you guys for listening to another episode of Source of Religion. I'm William Ramon. He's Macaulay Matthew. You have anything you'd like to say?
Check out my show IMAX Saturdays 11. Come back here and check out Sports Religion every Sundays at midnight.
Thank you very much, and I'll see you guys next week. Thank you for listening. Peace, everybody.